Now welcome to First Mint. Looking for NFT content? Look no further, cause this is it. From Top Shot to Blockchain, they got the data chops, analysis, and pack drops. The show's equator hot. LG and Phil D, the best amongst others. Best brothers that happen to ball since the Ball Brothers. So settle in, cause it's time for the best show. Ayo Quad, who we reppin'? First Mint. Let's go.
Whoa!
What?
Wow. Holy shit. Like, okay. So the only ever time in history of the First Mint podcast or live show that I've gone on the air, and when that song by Los, the fabulous Los, who can make some tremendous music and hopefully makes more for us in the future, the only time in history of the First Mint where it has not been LG on the screen when that song ends was the time that Mike Zakarian came on the show. And I had absolutely no idea who he was. Like, I had no clue. And I literally said, who the hell are you, dude? So for those who have not heard LG's voice in the first 20 seconds of this, and for those who are watching on YouTube, you will notice that LG is not around this week. Now, if you didn't know this ahead of time, it means you obviously don't listen to the podcast and you haven't watched previous shows. But LG has been, he's earned some well-earned vacation time. And he's not here today. But I do have a very, very special co-host. And again, for those not watching, you can't see him, but you're about to hear him. You heard him chuckle a little bit. Okay. So without further ado and without further, you know, introduction or any of that hand clapping stuff LG always presses buttons for when I try and do anything, let's welcome Chamber Wrecked to the First Mint as the... I'm going to kill you guys, dude. I knew that was coming, man. I knew you were set up for this. So, Chamber Wrecked, welcome to the First Mint. Welcome to being the co-host of the show. I'm super stoked for this to happen. What's going on, man?
It's unbelievable to be here. You guys have a premium show. The intro alone is worth the download. Amazing. I've been listening to you guys for a long time. I actually just finished my show about 20 minutes ago. So I'm geared up to talk. So I just spent, we were talking in, you know, 2 hour podcasts. I just finished about an hour, 15 minutes. I don't know if I got 2 hours in me.
LG, but... if you're listening, that means we are not going 2 hours tonight, no matter what. I don't care what the protocol is. We are going to cut this nice and sweet today with Chamber Wrecked. And we hope that Chamber wants to come back next week and is not forced to come back next week after this complete train wreck we're about to experience today.
This is gonna be a great show.
It should be good, man.
I'm very excited.
I think the people are excited because for those who don't know, and I'm gonna give you a chance to introduce yourself, Chamber, properly. I want you to pretend kind of that whoever's listening right now has absolutely no clue who you are. They're looking at this guy on the
screen. So just basically like, everybody that's listening.
Who the hell is this guy? Chamber Wrecked. But I do know for a fact though, we'll go over how you won the opportunity to co-host the show. But first, I'd like for you to introduce yourself to the faithful First Mint listeners, including the ones who, during the competition to become the co-host this week, believed that the First Mint was originally called the First Moment, including those people. I want you to kind of introduce yourself as if no one's ever heard the name, no one's ever seen the face, no one has a clue who this dude is, and he's here for the first time ever.
So, yeah, I'm Chamber. It's an alias. I created the alias back in 2017 because it was the cool thing to have like an Anon Twitter account when you were dealing in crypto. And I was a very cool guy. But my real name's Chad, which turns out is a way better crypto name than Chamber. I just didn't know at the time. But yes, I've been in the Web3 space since about 2017, I traded crypto, altcoins, Bitcoin, Ethereum, DeFi. I started a podcast back in 2018, which was called Wrecked Podcast with my business partner, Bunchu Betts, who's a big deal in Web3. He's much more popular than I am. We've hosted many shows in the cryptocurrency space. I think you guys were the first, if not one of the first, NFT shows. My co-host got right into, stuff like Zed Run, stuff like Top Shot. He was talking about Top Shot back in like November, I think, of 2020. I feel like that's, before the big boom. I got into Top Shot maybe around mid-January, just enough to make to think I had a little bit of money, and then, subsequently not have a lot of money after that. Just really talked, really played through the whole NFT cycle from, 2021 up until, today, where it's a different landscape, really.
Now, I have to tell you, Chamber, that story you just told and like kind of your backstory is very similar to so many people in the space that we've had on. So why don't you tell our listeners something they probably would be shocked about you? Like, do you have any secret talents?
So many.
And I mean, not like being able to whistle like the national anthem and shit like that. Like some people come up with them. I'm just like, dude, what do you say? So what would you say are your
special talents? I got lots of weird stuff that I like that is maybe, unique to myself. I think that the oldest one, the oldest kind of curiosity that I have is, I'm a massive, Bigfoot believer, researcher.
Up, seriously?
I love everything Bigfoot. It's one of my favorite things since I was like a little kid. I remember going to the library and pulling up like a book, and it was, probably like 7 or 8 years old, and I've loved it every minute. I'm a Canadian boy, just like you. I grew up in rural Northern Ontario.
I didn't know that. For some reason, I thought like this whole time that you're from LA or something like that. That's what I had in mind.
A bilingual Northern Ontario boy.
No way, man.
Absolutely. Spent some time in the north doing some actual like Bigfooting, and was part like of a group and stuff. Like,
oh, get out of here, man. Oh,
loved it.
That is my vibe, dude. Because
that's for like the weirdest thing about me.
The longest time now, LG and I've been like kind of laughing at Bigfoot videos and kind of the imposters of Bigfoot, like the ones
the terrible
that
ones.
People are think that we're actually gonna believe that costume is like running through the forest right in front of somebody, and that's the first time it's ever been seen, right? But man, I just learned so much about you, dude. I had no idea you were from Ontario, let alone Northern Ontario. And I have to tell you a story. I don't know what part of Northern Ontario you're from, but have you ever heard of a city called Hearst, Ontario?
I spent many a summer in Hearst. My absolute best friend, he had a cottage in Hearst, and we would go there for the entire summer.
Okay, so you're
worst strip club I've ever been to.
Yeah, okay, well, it gets better. I've told this story on the podcast before, but I don't think you've ever heard it, and I don't think most of our listeners could ever relate to it unless they have Google right in front of them. But I've been to Hearst one time in my life, and it was in grade 9 or 10 for high school hockey. We had a big tournament of all the French schools, because we went to French school. We had a big tournament up north, which was a huge drive, big deal. I was a rookie, the usual hazing from the older guys, but I was one of the better players, so they didn't haze me too much. And when they tried, I knew how to defend myself. Like, I got locked out of my room. I was staying with two grade 12s, and I got locked out of my room at night. They told me I had to sleep in the hallway. So the next morning, when I was allowed back in the room, I put the TV in one of their hockey bags. I put the two lamps in their hockey bags, and I called security and said that they're stealing shit, and security came and gave them shit for trying to steal stuff from the room. So just an example. And then they didn't mess with me after that. But there was a McDonald's right beside the hotel in Hearst, Ontario. We would go there for like breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever we had a chance. Being high school kids, we didn't have that much money or whatever. We'd just go to McDonald's and grab the easy food. And there was a lady, and I know, man, I hope I don't offend anybody by saying this, because this day and age, who knows? I might offend people by saying this. But there was a lady that worked there. And she earned the nickname of Lanny McDonald. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
For those who don't know, I'm not going to tell you why. Just look up Lanny McDonald on Google. And to this day, when I run into some former teammates from high school, we always like kind of recap our trip to Hearst. And it always comes up, do you remember Lanny McDonald, that worked at McDonald's. That's it. That's so, amazing. And I'm not going to get into the reason. I'll just leave it at that. Everyone has access to the internet. You don't know hockey, just look up Lanny McDonald and you'll know why she was called Lanny McDonald. So yeah, that's pretty cool, man. That's it's a really small world, right? When it comes to that stuff. So
yeah, I actually grew up in French schools as well. I did all of my schooling in French Catholic schools. And then when I went to university, it was the first time I actually went to an English school.
So what was the name of the French high school out there? I'm sure I would know the school you went to. I'm positive I know the school.
Without doxing myself.
Actually, that's true. No, you don't have to say it. That's true.
It was École Secondaire Thériault.
I think I've heard of it because in the French high school world, it's you end up playing these schools at all like the provincial events and mm-hmm. and you do kind of inter-school stuff. We're I was in the city, so we're kind of far.
You guys were like in the Toronto area, correct?
The school was called Monseigneur de Charbonnel, and it was right in the middle of Toronto. Okay. And my daughter actually just graduated from there in terms of elementary school because it kind of added the grade sevens and eights, so she's done grade eight. And she's the last one in the extended family of cousins and all that. There's been 19 of them since the LG&I days. And she is the very last one to potentially go to that school. She just left the school. She graduated from grade eight, I guess, a week ago now.
That's right? Wild.
So, yeah, it's pretty wild, man. And good thing we don't all have the last name. Because I remember when I went there, I set the tone for the last name. and not a very good way. Trust me, LG went through hell.
What year would you have graduated?
So I would have graduated there in 2000, something like that.
I graduated 2001, so we were very very similar.
Exactly. And LG showed up about a year after that, or maybe he was in grade 9 when I was in grade 13 at the time.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And LG was screwed, dude. Like with that name, they're like, oh shit, another Doucette in the house, right? But LG restored the reputation. I will say this.
That's great.
And our parents actually went to the original high school with the same name.
Really?
Way back in the day, which is a fascinating story, man. That you know, our kids were able to go. Are you still there? Oh my goodness. Okay, dude, my entire screen just shut off as if like there was a power outage. I'm like, oh hell no, this is not happening. So anyways, long story short, the French school board is rather small in Ontario.
Yes.
This whole time I thought you were like some dude from LA, man. That was
That's what I had in my mind. Just a Canadian boy like you guys.
Wow, man.
But it's funny, I do have some questions because I have two daughters. Mm-hmm. My oldest daughter is going into grade five.
Come on, man.
I don't know. She's 10. So whatever that is. I think she's going into grade
five. I have no idea.
Five.
Hold on. Actually, if you want to reveal the year of birth, I'll tell you. That's the only way.
Yeah, it's 2013.
Okay. So my daughter's going to grade 9. She's 2009. So yours is going into grade 6. That's my guess.
I think five.
Five?
I think five. Okay. Might be wrong. Right, I'm not a great I've never been on the record saying I was a good dad.
Okay.
But I got a lot of shit from my mom, who's my family's bilingual. So my dad's English, my mom's French. I got a lot of shit from my mom because I didn't put my kids into French schools.
Ooh.
And I said, from my experience, I said, I speak French. I'm bilingual. I live in Southwestern Ontario now, so I don't really have a chance to use it all that much. My, you know, biweekly phone call to my grandma up in Northern Quebec. I'll call her once in a while, just to, you know, dust off the second language. But in my experience, and I'm wondering if you've noticed the same thing, at least in Northern Ontario, the people that were quote unquote bilingual, I would argue never mastered either language. So they were poor in English and terrible in French. And it was this mixture of both, you know, everyone wanted to be bilingual. Nobody wanted to master one of the languages. So when it came to going to school, I put my kids in English school because I want them to master the language first. And then we can learn some new languages. And it may not be French. Maybe it's going to be, you know, maybe it's going to be Chinese. Maybe we're going to learn some German. Maybe we'll learn some Spanish. You know, I wanted to keep it open. You know,
that's not a bad move. I mean, it's. You know, you're always going to feel the pressure, especially if you come from a French family, you went to French school, you're going to feel the pressure of sending your kids to French school. I kind of debated it for a long time for the simple reason that I'm like, well, you know, the one place that the French kids kind of struggled in some areas, not what I took in school. What I took in school, the language didn't make a difference. But right. a lot of the kids who went into sort of stuff that was related to math or science or engineering and all that,
absolutely.
Some of them became doctors. The one thing they told me after high school is that they struggled a bit at the university level.
100%.
When things were converted to English.
I took accounting. I had to relearn accounting for the first half of the first semester.
Right, right.
Because I didn't know any of the terms and none of the terminology made any sense. I was very good at accounting, but I didn't know any of the words that they were using. So I had to go, it took me probably a month and a half to learn all the words and kind of be comfortable with them. But 100%, that was a big issue for me.
My son just finished, and he's part of the first family. He just finished his first year in university, and he said the exact same thing. He said a ton of the stuff he did, he had to Google and kind of learn himself just because of the language difference.
I'm sorry, did you say your son just graduated?
My son just finished his first year of university, yes.
That's
right. Yeah, I had kids young, man.
You did? Pretty, that's so awesome. So you're all free and clear? I mean, besides your daughter?
No, my daughter's 14. She just turned 14.
So you got a couple more years and then
You'll experience this soon enough. When they turn a certain age, I don't know how old your other one is, but...
Five.
Okay, so you have young ones. Yeah. When they turn a certain age, you don't see them anymore. Like it's
really
done. Oh yeah. So now I know a lot of people listening have little kids. We get the stories all the time, you know, oh, I can't join the chat. I got to put the kids to bed first, or I can't come on the podcast. I'm in bed with the kids, which is the number one excuse that people use when they don't want to come on in spaces or something. Yeah. They're like, yeah, I'm putting the kids to bed at like 5 p.m.
Such bullshit.
Get out of here, man. Get out of here. Get out of bed. You're not.
Can I curse? Oh, sorry.
You can do whatever you want, man. All right. LG swears like a sailor on this thing.
Okay, I just want to be okay.
And when we asked our parents if they liked that or not, or if they like get disturbed when we swear, because we used to never swear at home.
Of course.
They say they ignore it and they don't listen to it. So you'll be fine.
Do your folks listen to every show?
They listen to every single show. God bless them. They actually sit there, I think. We don't know the format that they listen to it. We've debated this for a long time. But from the text messages we get, we know when they listen to it because they'll always fire back with either... You know, it's always positive stuff, or it's maybe pictures of stuff we discussed on the show, but we know that they've listened because we almost hear from them every single time. Even last week, I got a message from my dad saying, pretty much asking me where he can find the show that I recorded without LG. I'm like, no, that's next week, Dad. It's coming. Don't worry. It'll be on there. And they're going to love the fact that you went, that you're from Northern Ontario.
Absolutely.
Now,
I'm coming home.
Our listeners might be bored out of their minds from those stories. Okay. But I think this is a really good pivot area, Chamber, to kind of explain to the listeners how you earned this gig as the co-host of the First Mint podcast this week, because it was pretty chaotic. So I'll set the tone here. It was about 2 weeks ago. We decided to do an exclusive show on a Thursday night with contestants that had applied through a very thorough application process to be the co-host of the First Mint for two shows, because LG is gone for 2 weeks, and I will be seeing him this weekend, actually. But he's gone for 2 weeks, and then he'll be back, and we needed a co-host. We actually debated whether we should continue the show, whether we should put it on kind of a pause for a couple
weeks. Did
you
guys not take any breaks at all?
We took a break last week because we were both away for the long weekend, but we like to stay consistent, and we feel that there's always something to discuss. Now, if you listen to every episode, it used to be all NFTs and Web3 and crypto and all that. But as you know, we've kind of run out of, you know, things to talk about, sort of. Although there's always something going on. So we've kind of pivoted to sports and personal stories. And the only times I actually talk to my brother outside of text messages is actually on the podcast. We have genuine brother-to-brother conversations right here, right?
I love it. I love it.
So hoping for the same with you for sure. But again, for those who didn't listen or didn't watch the selection process, it was all done through application to be a contestant in kind of the final process. And then we brought on 7 or 8 finalists on the air for a live game show where the person who won the game show would earn the spot of co-host with me, the real Phil D, for 2 weeks in a row of this podcast. Now, round one included all 7 or 8 contestants. And round one was a huge round. I think a lot of the contestants kind of... they kind of underestimated the first round, not realizing that if you win the first round, you get a straight pass to the final three of the selection process. Mm-hmm. Now, as I'm talking, Chamber, I don't even remember how the hell you won the first round. What did we do in the first round?
It was a great, because we talked about it on our show after. We used that episode as great fodder for like two or three episodes of our show. And we really enjoyed it because my co-host was listening. And he, the first task was to go on to the First Mint Twitter handle find whoever found a tweet with the most likes or retweets. I forget which one it was. Basically, the most interactions. They won that round and got moved forward. And knowing Web3 the way I know it, I have to imagine the older tweets are going to do significantly better than anything current. So I just started power sliding down. And I looked for, I wasn't sure if you guys did many giveaways, but I'm like, if they could do a giveaway, and I, sure enough, I found a giveaway, had a ton of interactions and yeah, one, that's how I won.
What was the count on that? Was it likes? LG mentioned likes, I think.
I think it was likes. I think it was how many likes, yeah.
Because you smoked everybody. I do remember that. Was it Goldberg? How did I forget his name? It was Goldberg, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Goldberg had the highest count there. I did not know that LG held off until I didn't know LG looked at the answers and then kind of held the best answer for last. I didn't know that. So when LG kind of was reading them off, I'm like, all right, here we go. This is some true like Big Brother drama. We don't know. You know, we know Goldberg got a good number. There's only one left. It's Chamber. Mm-hmm. I didn't know he already knew how much. I thought he was just going to read them authentically as he received them. So Chamber won round one. And then it was kind of a bummer though, because Chamber did not get to participate in like the fun part of the show, which was the trivia. 10 questions I had put together, and it was supposed to be only the highest score from those questions, 1 point each question, advances to the final with Chamber. But I actually decided to make it the top two and make it a final three. So Chamber had about, I'd say, 45 minutes to just sit in the back and enjoy the show and know that he had a 1 in 3 shot to kind of get to the end. Now, a lot of conspiracy theorists believe that Chamber spent that 45 minutes recruiting people to come and vote for him. But I'll shoot that down right now, because Chamber and all the other contestants had no idea that we'd be doing a final vote to see who gets the co-host spot out of the three finalists.
That is true.
Unless LG told you ahead of time, I know for a fact.
No.
I did not.
If anybody's accusing me of conspiracies, they don't know me that well, because they know I just don't put in that much effort. they're like, that doesn't sound like something I would do. I will say this. Myself, my business partner, Bunch, and some of other co-founders, we created a media platform called the DGen Network. And it's a Web3 based media network, shows and articles and stuff like that. But we do have a kind of a token gated Discord. That is really good. We're going to get you guys in there. Actually, I'm going to get some tokens set up for you guys, so you guys can come in there and have some fun. It's a great spot. I did tell everybody that I was going to be on this show. It's not like there's 15,000 people in this. There's a couple hundred good folks in there. I don't know how many of them, watched, but I did tell people, hey, FYI, I'm going to be on the First Mint doing a thing. Just come by and watch. Okay. So I did do that. I didn't know about any voting.
Fair. That's fair, man. No, that's fair. You're allowed to invite your people, of course. So round two was trivia. It was pretty disgraceful all around. I'm not going to lie. We had some really good friends of the First Mint. Some members of the First Mint Discord and community from day one were in there. And they were just bombing questions left and right. I was shocked. They're still taking shit for it inside the First
Mint Discord.
Are they?
That's good.
Huge. Stone Cold will never hear the end of actually believing that it was called the First Moment and then acting shocked when he found out it wasn't. Okay, that was the best. Because he's been loyal listener since day one, and he's been actually part of the community for since day one. But the final two made it through the trivia. We then brought Chamber right back into the competition. And the final vote of the day was, or the final, sorry, the final event of the day was to have everyone come into the YouTube chat and vote for who would be the co-host. So that's where the conspiracy theories come from. Chamber was nowhere near the highest voted for 99% of that vote. Okay. If you want to compare it to something, I compare it to the US election of Biden and Trump, where we all went to sleep that night. And if you look at the betting sites, Donald Trump was like a minus 1,000 to win the election. He was up by a gazillion votes.
Right.
But there were these states that said
Those mail-in votes, man.
The mail-in votes. And I think it was Pennsylvania that said,
yes.
Oh, shit. All our machines are broken. We're going to shut down for the night. We'll continue the counting some other time. Okay. And we'll see what happens. And then we woke up the next morning and all of a sudden it was like, hey, Trump got smoked. You know, Biden's in office now. It is over. You know, whatever. So that was kind of the case with Chamber, where he was down pretty bad to Goldberg. And actually, I can't say Quad. Quad got his ass whooped in that vote. And he claims that it's because he didn't tag everyone in the First Mint Discord.
Right.
But he had time to, so he should have. Mm-hmm. But anyways, for those who don't know, Chamber came out of nowhere. And the last 2 minutes of the voting, there were way more votes than actual viewers. We don't know how that happened, but Chamber ended up winning. And here we are. And that's the first 25 minutes of this show has been spent talking about where the hell Chamber came from and how we got here.
That right? being said, though, too, I don't know if you get to see I don't know if you're in the First Mint Twitter DMs.
Oh, just God.
I was talking. Yeah. Because how this all started.
Oh my!
Was God. I saw? I don't know if it was LG or the show Twitter. Put out something like, hey, we're looking for a host. LG's going on holiday. We need a host. And as a, you know, as a respected member of the NFT podcasting community, I said, hey, I'm gonna help out my brothers over at the First Mint. I'm gonna say, hey, if you need me, I'm here for you. I got sports, I got NFT. We can talk whatever you want to talk. And then it was just like, oh, well, you got to fill out this form and there's an app. Now I'm jumping.
Oh, I remember.
I'm jumping through hoops. I said, this is going to be good. So I'm happy to be here. But yes, I was talking a lot of garbage prior to the event. And then if I had not won, I would have been very disappointed. So I'm happy I won.
Because Goldberg took it well, actually. He took it better than I thought.
He was very good. He was
as good as on the show until that last couple minutes, and then he got his ass whooped in the last couple seconds. So, super stoked to have you here, man. Now let's get right into it, because like I said, I promised the people we wouldn't take up too much of their time. I hate it when people want to like drive to work in their boring ass drive, and the show lasts longer than their drive. So we're gonna try and keep it around an hour today. First thing I actually want to bring up, I have a couple of funny stories to tell, but I want to talk about something that's kind of on everybody's minds. I have to ask you, Chamber, are you on Threads?
Of course. Yeah. Okay. I took literally 2 days off of work.
Shut up, man.
Thursday, Friday, no work.
Dude, hold on. You took 2 days off of work to like play on Threads?
100%. Yeah.
No, for what? What do you do on Threads, man, that you needed 2 days to play on it?
Pump the numbers.
Dude, get out of here. Okay, hold on. What's your follower count on Threads now?
That's terrible.
Okay, so definitely not.
With Threads, it takes it automatically like migrates your Instagram followers over. Does that sound about right?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Though. No, you can add them, like as in you can mass request to add all of them as followers, but you don't automatically get the follower count that you have on Instagram as your Threads count.
I see.
You start at zero until people accept those follows and refollow you back. If they don't refollow you back, you do not have those followers.
Interesting.
That's the thing.
But my Chamber Instagram was not very well curated. I'm a Twitter guy and Instagram didn't have it. So I was working hard to get my 500-600 followers on
Threads. Is that what you have on Threads? You're at 500-600?
Yeah.
Dude, you put in some work, man.
Work
you
hard. Put in some work. And I had to do I had to do a couple of other handles that I take care of too. It was a busy weekend, man.
So what if, so here's the scenario I'm thinking of. You put all that work in. I saw people saying, great, thanks a lot, Zook. I'm not sleeping for days, all this shit like that. Yes. Just like everyone else, I got really excited about Threads on the very first night because I think people really get off on the feeling that they're early to something.
Absolutely.
And the feeling that I got with the Instagram crowd and the people that I saw on there, I saw a lot of people obviously from Twitter, because it was the cool thing to do to move over. You know, we're all pissed off at Twitter. I don't have a verified account. So I have to deal with all these garbage accounts that are ads every two like posts. Now I started getting limited on what I could read. And that day where that limited thing happened on Twitter, you don't understand how angry I was. I didn't know what was going on. I thought Twitter was down. I was like trying to search it all over the place. And I didn't realize that it was done on purpose. I thought it was just my Twitter that was all messed up, right?
It's crazy.
So I went over there. And I got super excited. I started seeing people that I've never seen on Twitter that I follow on Instagram. And you could tell their level of excitement of being on a platform where they felt they were early and maybe they felt they'd missed the boat with Twitter and that this was their chance. And you can tell they were like pure rookies, man. They were posting nonstop. And for me, I'll tell you, I was excited at first, but here's my last post. And it was 3 days ago. All right. Or sorry, my last thread. We'll call it a thread. I love watching people. Like people, people are asking for RTs. I'm like, that's retweet, pal.
Right? Yeah.
But it could be retweet. Could be rethread.
Yeah, I could. You're right. That's a good point. It could be rethread. I've been calling it shares.
Shares. So my last post on there is this is 3 days ago. This app sucks. And a lot of people are struggling to admit it, but it really does.
No, you're not wrong.
Back to Twitter for me. And I tagged Zuckerberg in there. I said, do better. Okay. So a big part of me, Chamber, actually believes that he's just trolling Elon. Seriously. A huge part of me is like, he took the most basic version of anything he could just put together at the last second. And because, you know, and I'm starting to really wonder, and I said this to LG on the show last week, I'm starting to wonder if those two are actually friends and they're just kind of trolling the whole world. It seems so fabricated. Like Elon's losing his mind on Twitter now. Like he called him a cuck and things like that. And I'm just like, is he really that upset? Like, do things like this really upset him that he's going to publicly have like these tantrums? Do you know what I mean though? Like
I don't know, man. I don't think either of them are cool enough to be friends with each other and do this. So I do think that I was talking the other day. We talk about like nouveau riche, you know what I mean? Like new rich people. Yeah. They don't know how to act. I think people like Elon and Zuck are like nouveau cool. They don't know, like you're Phil. I don't need to know. I know. I turned back the clock to 1994. This guy is a cool guy. I know already. There's a presence that certain people carry themselves with when they're just, you know, they're at ease with themselves. And that's what really being cool is just being comfortable with yourself. And these two nerds, they got rich and all of a sudden they got popular and they don't know how to act. And I do think you're right in both. You're right in the sense Zuck did put out it is very basic. And the more days, like Thursday, I think was kind of the first like big day of threads. And then Friday was a really big day. So would say by Saturday, Sunday, there was definitely like a, all right, there better be more. So I will say this, it's a great start. I want to see some additions now. And on the flip side, on the Twitter side, I do think Elon is just running this thing into the ground because I'm a big Twitter fan. I do think Elon is messing this up. Just every turn, like he hasn't done a good thing yet. Like any decision he's made has not been a great decision. So I just don't know how long we have left with Twitter.
The thing is I can really use Top Shot as an example. No matter what we say about Top Shot, I've said for years now, people complain and bitch and all that. Their platform is still so much better than so many of these other NFT projects, mostly the sports ones.
Absolutely. Right?
Like I still find All Day so tough to navigate sometimes and kind of, you know, this pack opening where you press a button and it takes like an hour to open. Like, no, Top Shot's still like next level in terms of like their setup.
It sure is.
To the point where that's why people are still there is because it's still easy to do what you want on there. Right. I went back to Twitter and I knew people would start coming back. Like people were saying their goodbyes and shit. Like I don't understand why you needed to post like emotional goodbyes to Twitter. Like,
people doing that for real?
Yeah, it's like I saw a post like, I've given you so many years of my life. You're not giving me anything back. Like, dude, shut up. Like, seriously. Like,
what a nerd.
What are you talking about, man? Like, are you, like, maybe if you're paying, like, you're mad now. But no, it's been free for you and you've had a great time. Right. You have tons of followers. I don't know why you need to do that. But you're right. I haven't seen threads grow, this is why I'm scared that Zuck is just kind of trolling Elon with this and it not more. That's why I refuse to invest time in it right now because I feel like he's just trolling him with like a kindergarten version of Twitter where you can't even post GIFs, man. Like I'm pissed.
Well, I think that's the thing. So if we start to see, and I would want them to see, I would want to see them soon. So say by like this time, like by the weekend, like if I can't post GIFs by the weekend, that's a problem. And what are we, July? I would say by the end of the month,
that's a problem.
If I can't do some sort of spaces equivalent on threads,
Oh, yeah.
That's a problem. Yeah. No, like, for sure. You should be able to turn that on pretty quickly.
It's just so plain. Like, I'm looking at it. I'm like, what is this, man? Like, and it's funny to see because, you know, when a celebrity tweets something, they get gazillions of likes and responses right away. But on Threads, there were so little followers for these people because people didn't know what Threads was that you actually had a chance to be like one of the first five people to reply to celebrities. And there's a good chance they would see it. Mm-hmm. So to see like the thirst from some people, like replying to sub, I was laughing, man. I was like, and you can see what everybody replies. The algorithm is a weird one on Threads. But yeah, I agree with you. I'll give it a chance. I still check it out here and there just to see what the
hell. And it is good to have a backup because we've seen lots of issues with Twitter. And every time, you know, when Spaces went down a couple of months ago, there was a bunch of other stuff that happened. But figuring out where to go after that, there was really no other option. So having that other option is probably good long term.
Okay. We'll see. Well, so you think it sticks around?
We'll see. I think it has an opportunity to stick around, but we need to start seeing some improvements in the coming weeks and months that are fairly substantial.
Did you see the meme that the Simpsons predicted Threads? Because
okay. I'm a big Simpsons fan too.
So pull up a picture of Homer Simpson's ear, and it's the exact logo.
I did see that one.
I couldn't stop. I'm like, is this Zuckerberg again trolling everybody by making the logo Homer Simpson's ear just so people can continue to say that the Simpsons have predicted everything? I thought that was pretty good. That I will say this, in the first few hours of Threads that I was on there, the creativity of people and what I was reading on there, including the use of the word thread and all sorts of stuff like that, was really impressive. People are very creative, and I appreciate that. I also did see Thread Guy today. He did a Spaces this afternoon where he announced that he's done with Threads. I didn't listen to it, so I don't know if he's legit. But he says that Threads is – he's donezo with Threads. Ironically, Thread Guy is done with Threads.
Yeah.
And he's back on Twitter where – I mean, I don't blame someone with his kind of following for – you know, well, you go to Threads and you're like a newbie there, man. It's like, you know, like –
who did I see on Threads? I had more followers than them, and they were talking about, they're like, how am I supposed to come to Threads? Where on Twitter I have 350,000 followers, exactly. And here I have 320 total followers.
And you also can't search anything on Threads, right?
That
you
is
can't
true.
Do a search. Yeah. So that drove me nuts, right? But otherwise, I think I love the idea, like you said, of a backup platform.
Yeah.
And as long as it expands, it'll be fun to see how the two are kind of different from each other. Mm-hmm. I'm not leaving Twitter, that's for sure, right? Like,
not right now.
I still love Twitter, but if I still have to pay for things and it gets worse in that sense of the way, then I'll probably just consider it. But we've kind of built too much of a foundation on Twitter per se, right? So I think that goes for everybody. Okay, let's switch to sports a little bit. Have you been watching the Summer League at all and following these?
Absolutely, I've been watching Summer League.
Now, the number one pick overall, how do you say his name?
Victor Wembanyama.
Okay, perfect. I call him Wemby. Yeah, you will never see me post his name because I just don't know how to spell
People started calling him Vic over the weekend. I'm like, Vic?
That's good, man. Call him?
All right. I watch his games.
So did you see the video from last night's game? So by the way, I'm kind of a panic reaction guy all the time. I love drama. I love pouring gasoline all over drama. Like today at work, everyone's like, is it free lunch day tomorrow? And I'm like, as soon as I heard somebody ask me that, I started telling everybody in the building that it's free lunch. Okay. And then eventually, you know how you confirm it? Eventually, if you tell like 200 people that at the office, someone will say, how did you know? Right. And I'll be like, okay, perfect. It's confirmed. You know what I mean? Like someone will be like, holy shit, who told you? And that happened. So anyways, so I saw a meme yesterday, or actually it wasn't a meme. It was a video of, you know, Vic had that terrible, I called him Vic. Vic had that terrible first game. And right away, I'm like, LG, you see, this guy sucks balls. You know, like this guy's awful, right?
People were saying, so for the record, yes, people were saying it was a garbage first game, but he did have like 8 points, 9 rebounds, like 5 assists and 5 blocks.
Okay, but the field goals, what was the field goals? That's what killed people.
It was like 3 of 10, maybe.
No. It wasn't just 10. It was way worse than 10.
Was it worse than that?
I think so. Maybe.
But he did have 5 blocks, which I always think.
He did. Okay. Yeah. And also I love how candid and like kind of honest he is. He's like, man, I'm out of shape, dude. Like, absolutely. I'm tired. Like the pace of this league is not what I used to play. I'm dying out there. Mm-hmm. And then he had the whole Britney Spears thing before the first game. Okay.
Yes.
And I love it. When that came out, I went insane, dude. Like I belong working at TMZ because I love the shit.
I love it. That's great.
I'm like, okay, we're going to see a video. I can't wait to see who's telling the truth. And the video, the way they described it, sounded like there was a mob chasing him. And like she jumped out of the mob and like hung on to his back and tried to take him down. If you see the video,
it's not that
she literally
she tiptoes towards him. And
there's
I feel like 10
people max there. Okay. Not 500. Absolutely. Like they made it sound. And the security guard does push back. He doesn't look back and like swat at her. He throws his arm up as in like, stay away. And if you look closely, her arm kind of smashes her in the face based on that action. So self-inflicted. And that's why the cops were like, all right, well, there's nothing we can do. You kind of hit yourself in the face.
And it wasn't even him though. Like it wasn't even doing it.
No.
Like it's
and
his
he
guy.
actually said before that the security of the team told him, no matter who is out there, there's no autographs, no pictures. You need to walk through that lobby uninterrupted. We need to get through to the other side. Yeah. So don't look at anybody, which is exactly what he did. Right.
Are you a big Vegas guy too?
No, not really. Like I don't go to Vegas often. No. But if I go there though, like it's the party's on, right?
Did it look like it was the win? Like I felt like
yeah. Somebody at the said win. That, but I couldn't tell. I don't know Vegas that well.
It's the only place I go to, and I'm like, that looks
really
familiar. Yeah.
Now you look like a Vegas guy, man. You look like you clean up in Vegas all the time.
Oh no, I just go just for a couple of slot machines and smoking indoors. You know,
the last time I'll be honest, the last time I went to Vegas has to be over 10 years ago now, and we went for a surprise birthday party. LG actually surprised me in Vegas. And the last I saw of LG, and there's a picture of this, and he's shown it on the show, is he was doing the plank, like, you know, the face down plank.
Yeah.
He was doing the plank on an escalator in Vegas. That's the last I saw him there. And then I don't know what happened. Yeah. So we do have a good time in Vegas. And I do want to go back, actually. I mean, there's so many places to see in the world. And
you can see all of them in Vegas.
I know, it's true. That new sphere, dude, I have to say is
for
insane, right? Like that's apparently cost billions though, but I'm sure they'll make that up in advertising in no time, right? But yeah, back to Vic Wemby, whatever you want to call him. Mm-hmm. I still can't say his last name. People said the curse of Britney Spears is the real deal after he had that first game. I'm like, yeah, well, I guess. But then he had that game last night that shut everybody up and it showed that it's going to be a learning curve. Now,
Did you hear what happened after though?
No.
So they shut him down. So he's no longer.
Oh, he's done. Anymore. He's done.
Yeah,
for
he's done. They're like, okay, we're good.
But that's smart though. That's absolutely smart, right. Just like the pitcher for the Blue Jays, Alek Manoah, that just came back and put together a tremendous start in Detroit when everybody said it was too early to call him up. Now the reason that they did that is because he had that horrible start in that development league where he allowed like 11 runs. I was like, holy shit, he's really done. Then he went to Double A. He had 11 strikeouts and he looked like a Cy Young pitcher again. The Blue Jays could have waited till after the All-Star break, waited like 2-3 weeks. But I think they wanted to parlay off that tremendous performance in Double-A ball where he's confident as hell, put him up against one of the worst lineups in baseball and hope that he can just catch fire and catch his confidence back. And it actually worked. So
confidence is such a big part of
it. Really is, man.
It's like, I've seen it cripple people. I mean, you want to talk more basketball. You look at a guy like Ben Simmons, all the talent in the world, just confidence crush. I mean, this is if you're taking a flyer on a guy, I mean, you could pick up Ben Simmons on the cheap right now, buy low, sell high. I'd be all over a Ben Simmons trade if you have a team, are you a Raptors guy? I don't know.
I'm a Raptors guy, but I'm the kind that gets really pissed at his own team. And I'm just like, dude, like I'm fed up with the Raptors. Let's just put it that way. Like I'm fed up of being mediocre. It's so Canadian. It's just like, we just accept being mediocre all the time, but it's like participation points, man. I don't like it.
Right? I'm a Los Angeles Laker fan.
Okay, so that's where I got that. Did you have your background as the Lakers last time we saw you?
Yeah, that's 100%. Yes.
There you go, man. That's why I thought you were in LA, dude.
I'm a massive Laker fan. So I was a Laker fan before the Raptors were even a team.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. That's how old I am.
That's way back.
Yeah. I think I started watching like 91, and it was my grandma, she was the one that kind of introduced me to it. She really liked Magic Johnson.
Wow.
And this was the year Magic Johnson lost to Michael Jordan in the finals for Jordan's first championship. And I hated Michael Jordan after that. I'm like, F this guy. And then immediately after, like 3 months after that, and then you find out, you know, Magic Johnson has HIV, and I'm like 8 years old. I'm like, so we can't watch Magic Johnson anymore.
Yeah,
so
that's
it was tough.
Dicey, man. That's dicey. okay, so you're a Lakers fan. I'm a Raptors fan, but I'm also a fan of the NBA. Mm-hmm. I do want to talk a bit more NBA, not Wemby. We've covered Wemby. He's shut down for the summer.
Yep.
Is he playing in the World Cup? Do you know, for France?
I think it was the last I heard. It was questionable.
I would say no.
I would probably say no. I agree.
They won't let him. No chance, no, man. They're not going to risk the what happened to Chet Holmgren last year happening to Wemby
exactly
in the World Cup. And did you see that guys. Pop was renewed for five years. What in the world, dude? He must have like. That's like taking a shot of or a pill of Viagra for this guy, man. Like he saw Wemby come into the house. He's like, oh, hell yeah. I'm five more years. Five more years like Kawhi should have stayed. I'll never forget being under the Gardner, downtown Toronto, mm-hmm. when the bus stopped there with Kawhi and his uncle on it. And I started the chant of five more years with that whole crowd. And,
really?
You know, and his uncle was there with the, you know, he's doing the five more years. And then, you know, a few weeks later, you know what happened, right? Yes. So, I'll never forget that. So good call shutting down Wemby. Moving on from Summer League, what are your thoughts on Dame Lillard and Dame's trade request and what that does for the league? Because I'll tell you what I feel after.
It's a whole part of the, you know, the star empowerment era that we've been in for the last few years, where in the last CBA, the NBA, basically you had these supermax contract slots. And it was a way for small market teams to kind of offset what a big market team can do, right? Mm-hmm. So only Milwaukee could pay Giannis, you know, 5 years, $275 million. Whereas if he wanted to go to whatever, Toronto, they couldn't match that. So what happened was everybody was just signing their max contracts and then requesting a trade immediately. Right. Yeah. And now with Dame specifically, he doesn't have a no trade clause. Mm-hmm. So Portland can really trade him wherever they want to. Now, obviously Dame stuck around for a long time. So Portland's got some, they might feel a little guilty, not sending him to a place where he doesn't want to go. It sounds like Miami's his only wish right now, which I think you could piece together. You know, if I'm Portland, there's some pieces I would want, as obviously draft picks. I think they're asking for a minimum of 4.
Yeah, I saw. Miami doesn't want to do that.
No, I wouldn't want to.
I saw they're having major issues with putting meeting the demands for Dame Lillard. Let's put it that way.
If I'm Portland, I'm trading him to OKC. They have like 35 first round picks.
Why the hell?
I'm going to get 8 of them.
Yeah.
Like I want 4. I'm going to get 8 from OKC and Dame can go pound salt.
Thank you.
You know,
thank you for saying that. We actually didn't discuss this before, so we're not aligning on opinions, but nothing bothers me more than these star players who kind of hijack teams and say, like, I think Dame's agent said something like, if you're even thinking about trading for him and you're not the Miami Heat, you will be getting an unhappy player. That pisses me off, man, when they say that.
Absolutely. Okay?
That's what free agency is for. Free agency is for you to decide wherever the hell you want to play. Okay. I get it. I get Portland will probably, like you said, feel that they owe him some sort of accommodation as to where he goes. But to only give one team and be like, I'm going there, is everything that's wrong with the NBA. And it started with guys like LeBron doing it and some of these other star players of our generation.
Anthony Davis.
Right? You know what I mean, right? No, but seriously, it's 100%. True though, right?
Yeah, and Lakers have been the benefactors of that.
I wish somebody would stand up to it and, you know what, say, Dame, thank you for your years of service here. You have now been traded to the Detroit Pistons. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're the best package. We don't give a shit. You don't have a no trade clause. You don't have a clause like William Nylander where on July 1st, hey, here's my 10 teams. Not 9, not 11. Here's the 10 I'll go to, right? There's none of that. And again, what's the point of free agency, right?
Right.
Like, look at the Raptors. The only way the Raptors will ever get a player of that caliber is either through the draft or through trades, right?
So I do think Toronto is slowly becoming a destination. I'm not saying it's New York. I'm not saying it's Brooklyn. It's not LA. But I think it's Chicago level.
Right.
Yeah. Which is not bad.
Not bad.
I would put Toronto over Boston. Like,
but, But did you know that we have never in Toronto ever signed a player that's gone on to be an all-star? Like, ever. That's crazy. Has never happened.
Man. I think it's going to happen, though. I think it will
happen. It's like 30 years of history. You've never signed a guy who's become an all-star. That's insane. Like, how is that even possible? Even the worst of teams have made, like, decent signings where guys have become all-stars. And in the NBA, hold on. The NBA rosters are small. So the NBA all-star roster is typically the same stars every year with a sprinkle of these shock guys that came out of nowhere and had a great season.
Your Pascal Siakams.
Yeah, that's right. Pascal Siakams. Yeah. But great development in Toronto, obviously. But yeah, the whole Dame thing really rubs me the wrong way. I'm a big fan of Dame's. And, you know, the more I run it by the Portland fans, they kind of agree with me. I thought they'd be like, no, no, he's done everything for us. Let him go where he wants. But the fact that he just pinpointed one team, Miami, as a team.
It's ridiculous.
It pisses me off, man. I'm like, just don't do it. Please don't do it. Keep him before you send him to Miami. Don't do anything if you have to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Too bad. Let him sulk his career away if he wants to for the next 2 years. And that's it. Or let him give you the green light to trade for the best package, no matter where that is, to a contender or not. You can ask to be traded to a contender. That's a whole other story.
Right? Well, and honestly, I don't know, you know, I'm not a big cap expert, but I don't know if a team can just waive him. You know what I mean? If he does get
traded. Alonzo Mourning style, you mean? Like,
yeah.
You do that, like, with the Raptors? Like, oh yeah, amazing part of that package. We're getting Alonzo Mourning, $20 million a year. Gone. Yeah. Take your $20 million and go to Miami and make another $20 million a year.
And win a championship too.
After, don't get me going on that. Please. I hate that. Yeah, you know, you never know. They could. I think, I don't know. I'm not a cap expert either. I don't know how that works, but.
But it's funny you mentioned the agent saying like you're not going to have a happy. Because you know what that reminds me of? The first time I ever saw an athlete do that was back in the day, like 95, was Eric Lindros.
Oh God! And the jersey toss.
Yeah. I remember that like it was. It's etched in my in my memory, and that's who I think of first. I'm like, Eric Lindros was the first time I ever saw an athlete do that.
But it's surprising we don't see it more with draft picks, to be honest, because
it is true.
The dynamic of the draft is that the worst team or one of the worst teams is going to get the best player available. And you're right. That I thought that would have set the tone for years to come where guys like,
it's nope, never really happened.
Don't take me. I'm not going there. There was a player in the NHL draft this year by the name of Adam Fantilli, who did throw a lot of hints that he'd be happiest in Columbus. And he ended up going to Columbus. But that's weird because Columbus sucks. So I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking. Maybe he's an East Coast guy and he wanted to stay on the East Coast. And, you know, he's familiar with the city because he plays college against Ohio State and all that. I don't know. But there's something that really rubs me the wrong way about all these things. No matter how respectable Dame is, and he really is. I mean, Dame has been one of the better players, right?
So, great character guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Doesn't run from the grind until it's time to run from the grind.
OKC's if he was traded to OKC and he kind of refused that or was pissed, he'd be pretty foolish because OKC is in such a position to be so successful over the next few years. As long as they add the right pieces, OKC fans will tell you, no, Dame's too old. He'll be done in a couple of years. That's not what we're trying to do here. But OKC fans also are not in a position to say they want to be doing what they're doing now for the next 10 years.
I also feel OKC has some shitty contracts. I feel like Lou Dort is on there for big money. Like, if there's a way to get off, like, you know, if I'm OKC, I say, here's two shitty contracts and six first round picks over the next 8 years. That's a pretty good deal. You're getting off bad money. You get somebody in Dame that can kind of help with another Canadian, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Love Shea, man.
You know, I think that's good. I think a guy like Dame could help. I mean, CP3 was there a couple years ago and did a hell of a job in OKC.
Yeah, he mentored some of those guys to pretty, absolutely. You know, not the best ending, and CP3 is being bounced all over the place now, but for sure. I think it'd be a great spot and you could add even more pieces with all the, you know, the collateral you have there in OKC is like we've never seen before. Right. I mean,
absolutely. That's crazy.
Right, the amount of picks they've stockpiled. I have a really good friend, actually, who's part of our fantasy football group, who's a beat writer for the OKC Thunder.
Really,
And he's super excited, man. Like, this kid is, you know, I understand why they're excited in OKC, but at some point they have to take the next step and start adding, you know, the big name players. I mean, development's nice; they can wait all the years they want.
I think Shea.
Oh, he's
100%. A top I think this year, this coming year, he's a top 10 player, and I could see him being a top 5 player. You know,
he's just so smooth, man.
So good.
And he loves playing for Canada. That's what I like. Like Jamal Murray loves it too.
But how good is that Canadian team going to be?
If they play.
If everybody plays.
At the U.S. team, I saw the roster. I said, okay, that's not their A lineup.
No.
But will Canada, now that Nick Nurse is gone, apparently, I didn't even know this, but apparently a bunch of them are happy he's gone. I didn't know.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, I wasn't going to play, but now I'm going to play because he's gone. But I've never heard that before. If every single player for Canada plays, and we actually do need the top guys to play or else we don't stand a chance.
Of course.
Then they are a problem in that tournament. If RJ Barrett, yeah. Jamal Murray, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, even his cousin, Nikhil, if he plays, who else? Lou Dort, Brandon Clark. You know, it could go on for days.
Who's right? Our guy for Indiana now?
There's Nemhart with Indiana.
Benedict Mathurin, yeah.
It's an endless list of players that if these guys play, everybody. I'm talking everybody. You can't have Jamal Murray sit out and say, RJ, I'm going to sit out too.
You also need Kelly Olynyk.
100%. But that's a big problem. Actually, the guy from Purdue, that kid from Purdue is Canadian too. Like that guy that was supposed to be in the draft this year.
Oh,
I forgot
really?
His name. The 7-footer was like the Big Ten player of the year last year. He's Canadian as well. And he's coming.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He decided to go back to school for another year, but he was going to be a first-round pick in the NBA. Mm. Shaedon Sharpe. I mean, the list goes on, right? Like Corey Joseph guaranteed to play again. Like I guarantee you he's there no matter what. I just saw he signed somewhere again. Like this guy's an ageless wonder from Pickering, Ontario. But no, I'm excited, man. I've always been such a big fan of the national program. And despite my feud with Jamal Murray, I hope he plays and he doesn't, you know, say like, oh, shit, I want to get ready. International tournament where, you know, you get your conditioning up, you get to play against best players in the world, and then you go right into the season. So it should be appealing. But yeah, no, I hope he plays and I hope they all play. That's coming up, man. It's coming up in August.
And I mean, to your point, the U.S. not putting out their A team. Yes. My boy, my guy, Austin Reeves made the American team. So when you see Austin Reeves on the team, you know, it's not the best.
He'll probably tear it up, man. I don't doubt it. Right.
Like, I'm just looking for that bump, that international play bump that they get normally after playing. I remember Steve Nash is, you know, notorious.
Yes.
Was an average player, then played in that like 2000 Olympics, I think it was. And then after that was the Steve Nash that we know and love.
Yes, that's right. I was actually hoping he would be named the coach once they bounced Nick Nurse or once Nick Nurse left. But I don't even know his name, the other guy, but the guy from Sacramento. Somebody told me today he's not Canadian, but I think he is. I've
seen that before where we've had non-Canadian coaches.
It's kind of weird, though, if they did that, right? I thought maybe a guy like Nash would want to with his godson, RJ Barrett, playing and all that.
Is that his godson?
Oh, yeah. Because he was on the Canadian national team when Rowan Barrett was like the captain of the team back then.
Really?
And Rowan Barrett is now the director of the whole program, and his son is RJ. So that was his godson. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
So RJ is Rowan Jr., I'm assuming.
Oh, good question. I don't know, man. That's
probably we can make that assumption.
That's a good point. I don't know. That's a good point. That's for another show. We'll find out before next week if that's his name. But yeah, it's coming up. Super excited for that. And I'll be cheering no matter what. And people keep asking me like, oh my God, Jamal Murray. You know my story with Jamal Murray? I don't want to have to tell
you. I don't, because I hate Jamal Murray. Okay. And I'm looking for people to hate him with.
Okay, so I'll tell this real quick because I guarantee there's someone listening right now. I was like, holy shit, Phil's going to tell the story again. So there's a league here in Canada. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's the Canadian Elite Basketball League.
Of course, yeah.
That's the league that J. Cole was on the Scarborough Shooting Stars last year.
Yes, I remember.
Okay. So their home games are 2 blocks.
I'm a London Lightning fan.
Oh, that's London Lightning. That's another league, man. That's not part of the CEBL.
That's part of the Elite.
No. There's no team in London. There was a team in Kitchener last year, but they're gone now. That's something else. That's a different league. But anyways, this one had Scarborough Shooting Stars, one of Drake's best buddies, one of the OVO guys. It's OVO Nico, right. Is a part owner. Okay. I have some friends that know the actual owners. It's 2 blocks from my house. It's Scarborough. I grew up in parts of Scarborough for part of my childhood. I was all in. So I didn't get season tickets, but I started going to all the home games. Drake was there all the time. The vibes were amazing. It was as Scarborough as it gets, where they serve beef patties and things like that, okay, at the games. And the vibes were incredible. And
that is very Scarborough.
It's so Scarborough, man. I saw people walking around with beef patties. I was like, this is the real deal, man. So I took my son to a game. I took some friends to a game. Then midsummer, I took my daughter to a game, and Drake was there. So she sees Drake, and there's kids actually getting by Drake's people and getting pictures with him. He's like, yeah, yeah, let them in. I want to take pictures with them.
Really?
Which is surprising, but he's in a small gym. It's pretty authentic. At the Raptors, he doesn't do that because his security doesn't let anybody near him. But at this gym, the kids were being let through, and they were taking pictures with him, with the parents. It's all good. So I said, well, do you want to go try and see if we can get a picture with Drake? She's like, oh, no, not that interested. She's not starstruck right. or anything. She's a big fan of Drake's. So she is the biggest Jamal Murray fan in the entire world. She actually spent $800 US in the early Top Shot days. When I made an account for the whole family, I made her an account. Really? She actually took ownership of her account. She sold a bunch of stuff. And she had a balance of about $800 or $900, and she bought a Jamal Murray. Was it a legendary or was it a rare? I don't remember. It was one of the Western Conference Finals moments. Mm-hmm. She spent $800.
The bubble one?
No, not the bubble. From the year before that, like the series one set of the Western gotcha. Conference Finals. Yeah. So she bought his moment for $800. She's like, I'm going to keep this forever. Perfect. That's how big of a fan she is. Okay, that's when you can withdraw. So it wasn't real money. Obviously, I wouldn't let her spend $800 now. But that's what she wanted to do with her balance from all the sold packs. Mm-hmm. So first quarter starts, you know, people are going crazy. Drake's there. The house is full again. And she says, is that Jamal Murray sitting courtside? And I'm like, I look, I'm like, holy shit. I think so. That's Jamal Murray. So she's like, holy shit. She's like, I can't believe he's here. Blah, blah, blah. That's all right. I said, well, do you want to go take a picture with him after? She's like, oh, that'd be really cool. Actually, I love him so much. Like I'm such a big fan. So I said, okay, well, let's be good people and let's wait till halftime. If we can catch him at halftime, let's not bother him now. Okay. He's here to watch the game. He's with the president of the whole league because obviously he's a special guest. And let's not bother Jamal Murray during the game like the Yahoos do. Okay. Right. So at halftime, I sit there. I watch him at courtside. We're up in the bleachers. And Jamal Murray he's sitting there and he's on his phone. He's by himself now on his phone, just playing around, playing games. I don't know. He's texting, whatever. I said, okay, perfect. So he's not getting up. He's not going to get a drink. He's sitting there. This is our chance. Let's go down there. She's like, oh man, I'm so nervous. I'm like, well, I'll be honest, Ella, I'm leaving this to you because it's going to be weird if it comes from me to ask him for a picture for you. If you're authentic and you're a fan, you'll be able to ask him for a picture. Okay. So we go down there. She's like, what do I say? I say, hey, Mr. Murray, just can I please have a picture with you? That's it. I'm a big fan. So she taps him on the shoulder. She goes courtside. She was like sweating buckets before doing that. I have my phone ready for the picture. And she goes, Mr. Murray, I'm a big fan of yours. Can I please have a picture? This is a 12-year-old girl at the time. Okay. And he looks back at me and he looks at her. He goes, no, sorry, I can't. And I'm sitting there. And my instinct as a dad was like, I'm going to jump this guy, right? Yeah. I'm going to fucking clock this guy. Excuse me? Like, you can't turn around. Like, you literally, pal, don't have to get out of your damn seat. You already looked back at me once. You could literally look back at me again, have her stand beside you and take the damn picture, son. Right? And I don't know what to say. She's stunned. I'm stunned. I just motion her, let's go. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, man, how am I going to, like, she's going to be devastated for life. She will never have the courage to ever ask something like this again of anybody, right? Like, this will devastate her. And she's legit not a fan anymore. As much as I tried to kind of play around, I said, listen, you know what? Maybe he just, you know, they have their days, these guys. We've seen Steph do it before. We've seen Westbrook. They've all done it where they kind of ignore kids. But Westbrook's this was a tiny event where literally you could have made her life by taking that picture. Absolutely. She's not reselling it. It's not an autograph for an old geezer. It's not asking you to, you know, say a message to old Timmy back home saying, hey, Timmy, this is me, Jamal Murray.
Hope you feel better.
Right. Yeah, no. An authentic picture with a big fan of yours that spent $800 on a moment. And he straight up said no. She was literally humiliated and embarrassed.
Do you know who would never do that, by the way?
Shea Gilgeous Alexander.
Austin Reeves.
Oh, I'm sure. My writer friend, Brandon Raybar from the Oakland, when I told him the story, he's like, dude, if ever you're in town, just tell me and I'll get her to take a picture with Shea, Lou, all the Canadian guys. Way they would better. Never say no.
Okay? Way better.
They would never say no. So for me, that kind of really, I was a big fan too, and that soured my whole opinion of him. Unfortunately, I tried to really kind of let it go. My dad, even though he doesn't admit it, like he was like, when I told him the story, he was furious.
Really?
To the point where we're like, man, we should put this out there and put it in like the Denver Post that, you know, but you know what? I felt it was kind of petty to do that. I didn't want to sink to that level and make it a public thing. But then there was a ton of people when I put the story out there, Chamber, that were like, no, you're in the wrong. I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, honestly, what? Like, yeah, they're like, no, they don't need to be bothered. But I'm like, hold on. This is not a team event he went to. He chose to be at a public event Raheem, obviously people are going to know who you are, pal.
Right.
Right. Like, seriously, like, and it wasn't like there was 1,000 people around him, like jumping on him for autographs. And he said, no, she's the only one the entire game that recognized him and went up to him and asked, the only one. So what was it? Was it his fear that he'd be recognized by the entire arena? No, trust me, they didn't care. These are Scarborough people. They're there to watch the game and enjoy the game.
They got their patties. We're good. Yeah,
dude, they're not going to do anything like that. And what's funny is in another game, I saw Nikhil Alexander-Walker there, and no one had a clue who he was. He was walking around, and it took me a while. I'm like, hold on. I know this guy. I'm like, who is it? Who is it? All right, Tim. And no one had a clue.
He's related to who?
He's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's cousin, first cousin.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah, that's so they're both playing for Canada. So
it's like T-Mac and
Vince Carter. Yeah, but T-Mac and Vince turned out to be like 10th cousins or something.
Yeah, they
like
weren't
that.
Really that. I don't even think they knew each other. They're like, oh, no, man. I guess we're cousins.
The whole thing's bogus, I think. But yeah. But these two are first cousins, and and they played against each other since they were tiny. Really? So when they played each other, I think it was in the playoffs or whenever it was, Nikhil was like, I'll cover him. I know exactly what to do against him. And he actually shut him down. So, so that's my Jamal Murray story. I hope it's the last time I have to talk about it. It gets more angering every time because I wanted to be able to celebrate like all Canadians, his championship, right? It is a huge achievement. And he was so good in the playoffs, but I just couldn't be happy for the guy. I couldn't, man. After knowing that, it sat wrong with me for such a long time. It was like the wrong thing to do. Right.
I would like to personally invite your daughter to become a Laker fan. Yeah. This would never happen. We know how we know how to treat our fans. Okay.
Dude, I've even seen LeBron though, who probably gets harassed more than anybody, take pictures with kids absolutely. All the time, right? Yeah. Especially a little girl. So it's not some scrubby teenager boy or something like that. You know what I mean? Like even then.
Yeah.
But anyways, enough about that. That's my Jamal Murray story. For those who didn't hear it, thank you for listening. For those hearing it for the 50th time, I really apologize. It's actually taken us over the hour mark, which I said we wouldn't do. So before we wrap this up, Chamber, since we are back together next week, so we have to save a little something for next week.
Yes, we do.
I do want to bring something up. Now, I do like to kind of push the boundaries sometimes and talk about things we're not supposed to talk about what happens. So I will take a risk here and bring this up. And again, hope nobody takes it personally and gets crazy.
I'm so excited right now.
So I was at a party on the weekend, and we know what's going on right now with all the, you know, for the first time ever at work, I received an order that I need to take gender and things like that training, things like that. Okay. Yeah. We've never had to do that. But now we have to do some sort of gender. I don't even know what it's called. Some sort of gender training. It's a 2-hour course. You got to do it. You can't fast forward to the end. If you leave the screen, it pauses. Like it's hard.
You can't fast forward.
No, dude. And the first, here's what I love. The first thing it says to you on the screen when you go in there is if you are not comfortable doing this, let HR know. It doesn't say don't do it. It says, let HR know. I told someone that I'm like, no, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't do that. I don't have a problem doing it, man. I'm not uncomfortable. I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm just pissed off. I have to spend 2 hours doing any kind of training.
For the people that aren't aware, like what corporate HR training is fast forward. Like you skip ahead.
Right.
And
to
then
the
you
quiz.
Do the thing. Doesn't matter. Do
it's
the
common
quiz.
Sense.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can always get through these trainings without ever reading a single word in there.
It's because egregious.
It's obvious. It's like, the questions are like, you know, I won't get into that topic, but it's like, you know, if a fire truck's coming right at you and you're standing in the middle of the road, yeah. What do you do? Get out of the way, try and jump over it, or like lay down on the road and hope it goes over you. Like that's how easy these tests are. But this one will not let you fast forward to the end.
That's egregious. That's
yeah. Upsetting. So on the weekend, I was at a kid's birthday party. My kids have a total of, I think, 12 or 13 little cousins. They're all under the age of 10. So we spend most of our year going to kids' birthday parties because they each have their own parties.
I was at one myself this weekend.
There you go. So I was in Stoney Creek, Ontario at a kid's birthday party and it was raining that day. So we were outside, but there was a lot of time for conversation. And I was talking to a woman who teaches in Toronto. And she said that in the last 2 weeks of the school year in Toronto, Ontario, at a public elementary school, they had a litter box in the lobby for people who identify as cats. Like,
so I
can't make this up, man.
I've heard this before.
Okay, so I need to hear this because I thought she was trolling me. And so, I brought another teacher in and she confirmed that this is true at her school as well. So I need to know, I haven't seen this on the news. I haven't heard anything. I need to know, first of all, what that means to identify as a cat. Mm-hmm. And I need, okay, like I said, I'm not doing this to get into that whole subject of how people identify. I'm really not.
Right.
It's not something I want to talk about. I just know where it goes. And I don't have anything to say. I don't have a problem with anybody.
There's like we can agree that there's like an overcorrection.
I'd never heard this to the point where we are putting litter boxes in, not only in schools. Like, I'm thinking, is if this is true, am I going to go to Winners or HomeSense or Costco, right, and there's going to be a litter box for people to take a crap in because they think they're an animal? So I want to know what you know about this.
I've heard this before. I've heard this before.
Okay.
I've also heard that I've seen evidence that is fabricated. So this is like I've heard it before. A lot of people like to say it, but then when you actually go and look into it, there's nothing there. You know what I'm saying? You may have been, maybe they're trolling you a little bit.
Oh, so you don't think it's true? That's what you're
saying. I don't think it's true.
Oh shit. Okay. Now I'm going to need some proof or something like this.
I would say Pixar, it didn't happen.
Okay.
I've heard this I've heard this for a few months now, where like in the States, I've heard like the cat litter box specifically. And then you go and look into it and it's just like, no, that's silly. Why would we have a cat litter box in our school? Like, come on.
If that's where we're at, where kids...
I don't think it is. Are
just pulling their pants down, taking a deuce in the litter box, like in front of everybody. Yeah. This generation is in big trouble, dude. Like,
I have to imagine we would see pics by now.
This is not discrimination, what I'm saying. I'm being straight up. Like, if people are going to schools and thinking that they're like, what if some guy says I'm a cow? Would you have to put a patch of grass in the school so he can eat at lunch? Like, give me a break, dude. Like, that now it's gone too far with this whole animal thing. Like, forget peoples and genders and all that. Mm-hmm. To me, if that's okay, so if they're trolling me, I'm getting on my phone right after this. I'm gonna be super pissed because I actually believe both of them.
Yeah.
There was no alcohol involved on their end. There wasn't my end.
Just tell them to send you a pic. I feel like that would take care of the problem.
Okay. And if they do have them at their schools, I'm gonna head right over there.
Absolutely.
I need to see this for myself and I need to take a pic because I'll be showing it to everybody. So pretty wild. I'm glad you said that now because I have a bit more clarity that I might have been, it might have been a troll job on their end to tell me this. Maybe. But man, they're not known as liars and they sounded dead serious when they said it. So maybe it's a school that was experimenting with it. I don't know. You never know, right?
I just think there would be a picture there. If you talk to two teachers and they're saying, oh, my school has one, we would definitely have seen at least one pic. Mm-hmm. Like at least one.
I agree with that.
And honestly, they should have one on their phone ready to show you as soon as they give you this information. Like, look at this shit. What the hell's going on in my school? Like, look at my phone right now.
I feel they would have already sent it to me. You're right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you should have a pic of that.
But hey, shout out to all those who identify as cats. That's new level stuff. And actually, one of them showed me pictures of what that means. And there are people that are.
Oh, no, no. I'm very aware.
That's a real thing, right? Yes. Like, that's real. Okay. Yeah. So I haven't heard of it being here in schools because I figured that's something that would make the news. Like if litter boxes were all over schools, dude, that'd be on the news, man. Like there's 100%. No way you can censor that, right?
So, absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
I can sleep tonight officially. Thank you for that, Chamber. That's probably your best contribution today is telling me that that's
I'm glad I could help.
A prank. So thanks for that. Before we wrap up, why don't you tell us what you're buying these days in the NFT space, if anything, and what you think of the space overall? Are we coming back? Because I'm seeing a lot of people posting that after all these years, I'm finally out. There is no future for this. So what are you buying right now, if anything? And what are your thoughts on the future of NFTs and crypto, Web3, whatever you want to comment on?
Sure. I mean, I don't make any, no qualms about it. I'm here to make money. When I got into cryptocurrency, I want to make money. I want to make money so I don't have to work, so I can retire at the age of 40 and just chill out and like take vacations. I just want to make money. So I do think that Web3 will provide many avenues in order to do so. At the moment for NFT, the way I see NFTs right now is they will continue to be used, but they won't. You know, it won't be a PFP flipping, $150,000 ape pictures. These are going to be used for gating communities, concerts, sporting events. It's going to be community. My business partner, Bunch, he works. He has another company called Forum 3 that works directly with Starbucks and is bringing Starbucks into Web3. Collecting points. So like their point system is now on the blockchain, is using a Web3. So those are the types of things I see for, I don't think we're making any more money in NFTs anymore in digital collectibles. I mean, maybe, but it'll be fewer and far between. As far as cryptocurrency goes, obviously that I do still think that, mm-hmm. you know, it's ebbs and flows in the market. I think we're roughly 12 months away from the next Bitcoin halving.
Oh, that's right. LG was telling me about that. I'm not just familiar with that stuff.
So that always generates massive, mm-hmm. Massive interest, more retail, you know, consumers coming in. Mm-hmm. We're seeing Bitcoin ETFs that look like it's going to get across the line. And that's a game changer. Once you're an ETF, you're now part of the, you know, the quote unquote legacy market. And that's where big, mm-hmm. big money comes in. So, I mean, we've been pivoting a lot to, you know, this type of stuff, like just shooting the shit. But also, I think anything AI content related, I think mm-hmm. is very interesting. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot of sports betting stuff right now.
Nice.
A lot of automated trading bots. So really just kind of pivoting to where the interest is, I think is key. But right now, I would say crypto and AI tech are kind of the top of the heap right now. And I do see NFTs as being more of like a, you know, community building tool going forward.
Nice. Were you one of the ones that ran to get those Top Shot packs last night when that secret link was being passed
last
around?
Night? No. Okay. I haven't bought a Top Shot pack in a while.
Okay. So for those who don't know, at some point last night, people who were at the NBA Summer League were given these links to redeem packs because they were there.
Really?
But the pack links were not geo-gated. So anyone could go in their Discord and post that link, and everyone was able to redeem all sorts of packs. I ended up redeeming 4 plus 1 plus 1, 7 different packs. Like they had like the clay. What was that set called? The one where he curated his own moments, like recognized game or whatever.
Yes.
Like you could get one of those. You could get one of the KD packs. You could get one of the All-Star packs, and you could get 4 of the packs. I don't know what the hell they are. I just found it was funny because I've always had issues with links and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that thing spread like wildfire to the point where they were all gone in like 2 seconds.
Really?
So it's like the people in Vegas for the first time ever. Oh, here's your link. Oh shit. It maxed out because the community got their hands on it first. And one guy went in one Discord and posted that link and it spread like wildfire. Right. So you're not into Top Shot at all anymore, huh?
I'm not into NFTs that much.
Like, really? The big basketball fan that you are, you've kind of just, you're not alone. Tons of sports fans have moved on from that, man. They're just like, nah, thanks. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I made any money on Top Shot. I think I'm trying to think. There was definitely a time where I was in the positive. But I don't, I still have Top Shot moments.
Right.
So,
right.
But no, as
you're
far
just
as
not on there every day.
I just think buying NFTs right now
is not a.
What I'm doing currently is I'm saving all of my cryptocurrency, so Ethereum and Bitcoin mm-hmm. and USDC, and I'm just waiting for the next opportunity. I did so like the last big, you know, event was the meme coin from like a couple of months ago.
Yes,
and there was an opportunity. If you played it right, you could have, you know, 10, 20, 30x your money.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
So those are the
I missed. So
those are the types of events I'm looking for. So I got in early on the meme coin stuff. Nice, so those are the types of opportunities I'm looking for in Web3. Again, this is just to better my overall situation so I can retire and just travel and just spend time with my family. And
I like it, man. I like that you're real about that. That's a dream we all have, to be honest. And you know, I feel like no matter what we do in our lives,
well, even my name. So somebody asked me the other day, like Chamber, yeah, right? Like where'd you get Chamber from? I'm like, honestly, it's to remind myself. So my name's Chad. My wife's name is Amber. And it's just the two names put together. And it always keeps me on task. Like we're here to make money. You know, that's what we're here for. We're here for the family.
Wow, man. So that's it always keeps me
on task.
That's a fantastic way to end this thing, man, is on such a sweet note.
I'm a sweet guy.
Before we wrap up your first mint debut, Chamber, I just want to ask you one more thing because I'm completely fascinated by a certain individual that plays in the NBA, what he's up mm-hmm. to and why he does what he does.
Oh,
so before we wrap this up and we mm-hmm. hear the infamous First Mint exit song. Can you please tell us what the reason is we have not heard from LeBron James in over a month? The LeBron that I know, the minute the attention is not on him in the media, he will come up with things like telling the world he wants to win a Stanley Cup. everything from opening schools to doing this. He does not stay out of the spotlight for more than a day or two in the offseason, during the season. It doesn't matter. We have not heard from LeBron James in over a month. Mm-hmm. And I need to know from a big Lakers fan like you, what the hell is going on with this guy?
So I would say immediately, as soon as the season was over, he threw out the idea that he was going to retire.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Just to piss off the Nuggets because the Nuggets felt like they weren't getting enough attention.
And we all know that that's not going to happen, just for the record.
No, definitely not happening. I think the reason you haven't, you know, like after he did that, you know, he does have a relationship with the NBA. Mm. So what's good for the NBA is good for him. So I think you have the finals that roll into the draft, that roll into free agency, which just happened. Now we have summer league. Like, I think LeBron maybe steps back just to let the NBA kind of do its thing without taking the attention away, because I think a lot of people are banking on, you know, hey, what's going to happen with Dame? What's going to happen? You know what I mean? There is news out there. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, positive for some of his friends and for the NBA as a whole. I think once everything settles down, we'll hear some crazy shit from LeBron in like end of August, beginning of September.
Very disappointed, man. I've been waiting for a long time for the next. The Stanley Cup one was the one that got me. I'm like, hold on. This guy, all right, just because he's not in the spotlight for a couple of days, he has to come out and say that he thinks he can win a Stanley Cup. When I'm like, that does that even make sense? Like, do you even skate? And it was like the lead story on ESPN. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hell, what in the world? Like, he just can't help himself.
For the record, I am not a massive LeBron fan.
He plays for my team.
He plays for my team, and I like him, but I'm not like.
But you hate him at the same time.
I hated LeBron, and then once he started winning a couple of championships, I started appreciating what he was.
I'll say this, and we can wrap it up there. I like LeBron for the simple fact that he's kind of a straight shooter when it comes to his personal life.
Absolutely.
From what we know, he's got it all together. He's got a good family guy. He's done so much off the court. He still puts in more work than probably anyone in the league physically to stay active at his age. And if he, I'm telling you right now, I told LG this last week, the fact that he saw Tom Brady play till he was 45, you can bet your bottom dollar, LeBron's plan is to play not only until Bronny Jr. gets to the league, which is next year, it is to play until Bryce gets to the league a couple of years after, whatever that takes, and probably do what Tom Brady did and play until he's 45. He is not going anywhere anytime soon. And even a shell of LeBron will be valuable to a team for years.
Absolutely.
No matter what, right? So same story. I feel like I say that on every podcast. People that probably shut
I do have a question, though, for you before we end.
Okay.
Is the opening the same as the ending music?
Holy shit. I don't know. I just said the last song because by the time LG hits that end button, sometimes you know how on the platform we're using, the song plays and then you're like supposed to see the other person after? There are times where I hit the bail button even before that. And I know I just felt like, where the hell did he go, this guy? Right? So sometimes I leave before the song. It is, I believe, the same song. Yes.
Okay, cool. All right.
So if you hit that button,
I don't see like a, nobody. I don't see a closing.
No, I think it's the same one from what I remember. Cool. So on that note, we will end it. Chamber, thank you so much. This was such a pleasure doing this with you. I'm so happy we're going to get to do it again. We actually did debate whether we should have two winners and someone who does it one week and someone does it the other week. But I truly believe for continuity, the fact that we'll get to run it back again next week will be even better than this week.
Oh yeah.
And we'll probably have so much more to talk about. I'll have an update on my kitty litter in school story. And I'm sure we'll have some kind of drama when it comes to the NBA and even in the crypto space. And we'll also be able to get a Threads update because Chamber announced earlier that he's giving them until the weekend. Until he's done with them, if they don't update their
platform, if I can't post gifts by the weekend, we're done.
And there you have it. So thank you everyone for listening. Thank you to the First Mint faithful that are listening to this on their way to work or at the gym. We've had every story. People are sitting on the toilet listening to the podcast. Thank you so much everyone for listening. Chamber, I will see you next week.
Now welcome to First Mint. Looking for NFT content? Look no further, cause this is it. From Top Shot the blockchain, they got the data chops, analysis, and pack drops. The show's a crate of hot. LG and Phil D, the best amongst others. Best brothers that happen to ball since the Ball Brothers. So settle in, cause it's time for the best show. Ayo,